Hello?
Yeah, I'm calling about the OTAs.
That's great there. What's about it?
What?
What about it?
I want to know if I can come and see them and watch the players.
Nope. Thank you.
What's up, Hoodat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is probably a 2 or 3. With only a month to go before training camp begins, we're all starting to get the fever. And the only prescription is more Saints news. For you longtime listeners, you may remember how much Jason hates the hype train. But folks, I think it's time we start taking tickets, because the theme for tonight's episode is irrational optimism. Where we're going to establish expectations based on nothing more than hype, hype, and more hype. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. At this point, you may notice we're not going to do introductions of Jason and Damon and their drunk CO numbers, because that part of the recording was lost, and we are re-recording the intro, and I'm going to now jump into the recorded pieces where we begin with our hype train segment.
I said, woo woo!
Come on, ride that train. And ride it.
Oh, is Damon here?
Yes.
Oh, there you are.
You're just in
asshole.
Time for the hype train.
Right.
At least he broke into the music at that point. That's going
to
be.
That's what he does.
Hold on. I'm trying to talk to y'all on the goddamn computer.
Well, you are, right?
Yeah, that's how we podcast.
No, I'm talking to you on my phone.
That's how Skype works.
Oh, it's like a computer. I see. Okay, I have to hang up. Hold on, I'll be right there.
Good, get the fuck out of here.
Old people, I'll tell you what.
I'll tell you, man.
Old people and technology.
That was fucking quick.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
That's what she said.
So, here we are in the hype train. And the first thing in the hype train is the OTAs, the updates. Let me just read a quick little news reel for the people who may not be following online. The guys who did not participate in OTAs, Max Unger, our new center that we acquired as part of the Jimmy Graham trade, did not participate because of the birth of a child. So that's fine.
Acceptable, yep.
Andrus Pete did not participate because Stanford hasn't completed their academic year yet.
Same thing that happened to Cooks last year.
It's the
fucking Pac-10, man. They're weird.
Yeah. Garrett Grayson did not participate because of a mandatory rookie premiere seminar sponsored by the NFL Players Association.
Hold on. How do they have the fucking rookie symposium on the same date as teams are having OTAs? That is just ridiculously stupid.
Well, and why is he there and not every other rookie?
Well, other rookies are there. It's not just him. It's a rookie symposium, but why would you have that when you have your first OTAs? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, did Andrus Pete go to the rookie symposium?
He's still in school. He couldn't make it.
Oh, okay. So it's not necessarily mandatory.
Well, there'll be another rookie symposium for these guys.
For the love of Pete.
Everybody's got to do their symposium to try to make sure, hey, don't break the law, asshole. Be smart.
A lot of good that doesn't.
Well, some of these guys need it.
Yeah, but it doesn't fucking work.
Not always, no.
Mostly not. Actually, no. I guess the majority of players don't get arrested. We should
right.
remember that.
Right.
All right. So only if you're a superstar. Right.
And Ingram didn't practice. They were a little small ailment. They were just being precautionary. I mean, no need to play anybody here when you don't have to.
Yeah. But Bunkley or Glenn Foster, who ended last year with injuries, didn't participate.
Yeah, they were both coming off injuries. Yeah, none of them.
So they haven't healed yet? I mean, shit. The fuck?
Well, I think Bunkley, like, tore his ACL or something. It was pretty serious.
Okay.
He's not going to be ready. The good news is a lot of guys did practice, like Bird practiced with no problems.
Yeah.
Sinceri practiced with no problems.
Yeah. Raphael Bush.
Vaccaro practiced with no issues.
Akeem Hicks, John Jenkins.
Right. So that's good to get.
Taron Armstead, Austin Johnson.
Even though, I mean, look, it's practice, but there's still no pads. So
think about this, too. Like last year, you want to talk about last year, finishing the season last year. All these guys that we just named, Jairus Byrd, Raphael Bush, Vinny Sinceri, Akeem Hicks, John Jenkins, Brandon Cooks, Taron Armstead, Arson Johnson, all were injured. I mean, we didn't even finish the year with those guys.
No, we did.
That's a handful of – I mean, aside from Vinny Sinceri, that's all starters.
Well, Sinceri was a special team starter.
Yeah. But, I mean, you want to say, like, I mean, what happened at the end, in 2014, you could make a case that injuries killed us.
Well, it was a lot of everything last year. It wasn't just injuries.
I mean, the defense sucking, yeah.
But even with Vaccaro coming in today and talking about, yeah, like, I was still coming off his – because remember, he, like, broke his ankle at the end of the season in 2013, so he was still coming off that. Then he's like, yeah, and I tore a, like, you know, partially torn hamstring week one. So I'm like, jeez. I mean, if that's true, I guess that's kind of an excuse for why he was so shitty last year. But at least it's good to, you know, to me, like, to having Byrd come back and having no issues with him. Because even when we signed Byrd last year, remember he had that back surgery,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was the back, and then it was his knee.
Ah! 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 Ah!
The key thing in OTAs is there's no pads, but you're installing your packages and just don't get anybody injured. I mean, the Broncos lost their Pro Bowl left tackle towards ACL Wednesday. Done. Out for the season. No contact, just, you know, walk through OTAs like us. Like, that's just, you know, you can't have something like that happen.
Yeah. Now, meanwhile, Darnell Ellerby, who we picked up from Miami in that Kenny Stills deal, he worked out with the number ones, but he didn't finish the day with it, right?
Yeah, they was precaution. Just they're not rushing him back because he's still coming off a big injury too.
Is that really, right? Is that the injury or is there something new?
No, I think it's just the injury.
All right.
I mean, it's too early. You can't over. This isn't overanalyze this.
No, this is hype train.
Yeah. It's weird though. Like I know it's just OTAs, but I'm just thinking about like being back in the dome.
Oh, we're about to get you hyped up. Don't worry.
Don't worry. It didn't take long for me to get hyped up.
Just these guys being on grass makes you hype. All right. So the next thing is we want to talk about is the Saints announced that they will practice with the Patriots, which they've done last year, and this will actually be the third time in Sean Payton's tenure that they'll practice with Bill Belichick. In the Patriots.
Well, and remember, it was going to be the Texans.
Right. They decided not to practice with the Texans. But they're always going to practice with the Patriots, though.
Yeah, because the Texans are on Hard Knocks now.
Now, Peyton claims that's not what played into the
decision. That's definitely what, 100% what came into it. 100%.
Yeah, Damon, any opinion on that? All right, well.
Yeah, I mean, 100% it's because he doesn't want anything to do with Hard Knocks or be involved with it.
I mean, that's why I made the note, because I know he said that doesn't have anything to do with it, but my note does say it does make you wonder just a little bit.
Oh, it's definitely the reason. There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
So two things this topic could spiral into, and I'd say let's take each one down wherever it needs to go. The Patriots and the Saints, you know, hey, we're kind of newly kindred spirits because of Roger Goodell. I wonder if Sean Payton and Bill Belichick are going to have some conversation about Goodell. And
they're going to have a nice steak dinner, drink a bottle of wine, and say, fuck that Roger Goodell.
Yeah, you know. I thought that was pretty interesting. But also, Payton himself did say, and this is what I love because, you know, we talk about on the show the Patriots being that model franchise that you do want to model yourself after if you're going to have long-term dynasty success in this era of the NFL. So I do like the fact that Sean Payton respects the Patriots enough to say, let's still practice against them. And I think in some of his comments was like, because they've done it a couple of times, he quote unquote trusts Bill Belichick and the Patriots to practice against because they know that they're going to get a good quality practice and they'll be able to focus on the things that they want to focus on. And it breaks the monotony of camp. It comes like right in the middle of training camp, Drew Brees likes the fact that he can kind of throw against a few guys that he wouldn't normally. You know, it's like you play against that same defense over and over again.
Right, but I mean, something. Right, but that doesn't change. They would have done the same thing with Houston. I mean, practice.
Yeah, but Houston's the same thing. But Houston, A, is on Hard Knocks. B, sucks.
They have a good defense, though. It'd have been nice to go up against that defense.
Yeah, maybe so.
But I mean, it's all because of Hard Knocks. That's why.
And I love the
although
fact.
I
love that. I don't want the Saints on. We've talked about this last year. We don't want the Saints involved in Hard Knocks.
As fun as it would be to watch them on Hard Knocks, I definitely don't want them on there. Mm-mm. But it is interesting too. I mean, we play Houston during the regular season.
So
I mean,
it would have been interesting to play against them.
I mean, you know, not that you're going to show all your stuff.
No.
Necessarily, clearly not. But, I mean, you never know with his motivations.
At the same time, they'd be showing us stuff too. So that whatever, you know, it's
whatever. It's all because of Hard Knocks. That's what it is. That's all you need.
Gotta be right.
I mean, 100. Yeah, it has to be. There's no reason he would have just changed it just now when they announced. Oh yeah, Texans are on Hard Knocks. Oh fuck the Texans. We're practicing with the Patriots.
Now the other sidebar was Hard Knocks itself. So Patriots were chosen to. I mean,
the Texans.
The Texans were chosen to be on Hard Knocks. How do you feel about that? Are you? I'd rather watch the Texans than the Falcons.
The Falcons. Well, I enjoyed watching the Falcons because of I knew how shitty they were going to be, and watching Mike Smith on Hard Knocks is
trying to be
TV
tough.
Gold. TV gold, but look, I always love
Hard Knocks was a sitcom last year.
I mean, I always love watching Hard Knocks. You know, like it would be awesome to watch Hard Knocks on the Saints, be able to watch like a Saints 5 week, you know, kind of like a pregame lead up into the season. But obviously, I don't want, as Peyton doesn't, like, it's better if you're not on Hard Knocks. As entertaining as it would be for fans, it's a smart move to avoid anything with Hard Knocks.
Well, I feel like if you look at the history of Hard Knocks, the players and some of the assistant coaches, more so than the head coaches, get a little consumed by this need to create good TV or to become a star themselves, that they lose focus of what training camp is really about. And that's why teams who are on Hard Knocks don't usually achieve their goals during the season.
Well,
I think with the exception of, what, the Cincinnati Bengals?
There was 1 year where the Bengals actually made the playoffs.
Right.
But also, too, with the way it's set up, I mean, you're not going to get a lot of the perennial playoff teams on there. You're going to get kind of your low-rung team, so they're not good to begin with,
mm-hmm.
including the Falcons.
Which I'm starting to wonder if Hard Knocks has run its course.
I mean, it probably has. It really probably has.
Because the other part of Hard Knocks, think about this. You watch Hard Knocks. Is there – I mean, it's the same – it's trope at this point.
It is, but it's still fun. Like, and that time of the year when you're really ready, like training camp is here, you're all in football mode, it's fun to have that every week to get, like, the ins and outs.
Yeah, but
an NFL team.
But it's there's
and the narrative voice and the way they talk. I mean, it's fun. It's like it's enjoyable to watch.
I guess
no matter who's on it,
I'm
it's very enjoyable.
It's just predictable. It's the same.
It's a lot of the same stuff every year. Oh, these guys are on the bubble. One of these undrafted guys, is he going to make it? They
right.
show his family. They think he's you know. But
well,
it doesn't make it.
What it could do for us as Saints fans too is put our own team news in perspective that, you know, I think what we've talked about in the show too, you draft all these guys. Not every one of these guys is going to be a starter. Not every one of these guys is going to be groundbreaking. Not every one of these guys is going to make the team. And watching Hard Knocks over the years helps you to realize that, you know what, put it all into perspective. It doesn't always work out for these guys.
But also, too, because when you start off with the 90 guys, I mean, right off the bat, there's 20 guys that the Saints pretty much know are not going to make the team. And yet,
right.
you know, they're there, you get to know them on TV, and then you get to see them cut, and the realities of the NFL, like, nope, that's it, you're done, bye.
Yeah, that's not even the part I like about Hard – what I like about Hard Knocks is when they get into the preseason game, the later part of the seasons, where you'll watch the preseason game, and you'll watch them evaluate, and then you'll see those cuts come. Or those...
When it's interesting, too, right, because the third and fourth game, it's like guys are playing, fighting for jobs and fighting for roster spots. It is entertaining to see can they
right.
come up with a couple of good performances and secure their spot in the team. And then when they do make the team, you see the elevation on their face. So, like, yeah, you know, they call their mama. Oh, yeah, mama made it. Blah, blah.
Right. That's the part of the show I like more so than the beginning, the first half of the season, where it's just, you know. And, again, I'm probably jaded by watching Roddy White try to act like a freaking comedian or whatever last year.
And Mike Smith and his mandals.
No, that was fun. I like that.
It was funny. Mike Smith was a treat.
His 1992 sandal.
It's going to be hard to replace Mike Smith on Hard Knocks.
Tough. We're going to be tough. We'll never lose that. Well, thank you, Mike Smith, for giving us that.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike Smith.
All right. So now we're really riding the hype train at this point. I want to know, how excited are you about Mark Ingram and C.J. Spiller leading the Saints backfield?
I'm very excited about Spiller coming in. Ingram's going to be the hammer, but Spiller is going to be the playmaker that we've kind of lacked a little bit. And with, you know, with no Jimmy, we're going to need, you know, a lot of play. I think Spiller's very extremely talented.
Irrational optimism. So
it's always
total. Like, nobody's going to hold you accountable to what you say. There's no bold predictions going wrong. I mean, to me, C.J. Spiller is Darren Sproles.
Except better. Except
who doesn't get hurt. Like, yeah, Darren Sproles with meat on his bones.
Darren Sproles with a guy who can actually be a featured, like, he could be a starting running back for this team and just go absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
On everything.
Yeah. Total upgrade to Darren Sproles, which I didn't know.
But it's not even, it's like all the running backs, even as good as Pierre was, like, fucking Spiller is a game breaker. Spiller is more like Reggie, you know, Reggie Bush. Like, every time he touches the ball, great shit could happen. And especially with the focus, you know, that we've put on improving the offensive line, I mean, the entire rushing game should be better. And it's gonna be good. Look, to have Ingram too, and to have, like, to be able to split carries and not have one guy be a feature back all the time. It's only, you know, gonna.
But yeah, they both can break tackles. That's the thing. Now, I watched a highlight reel of C.J. Spiller today. On YouTube, highlight reel. But now I will say, he has a tendency, for whatever reason, when he gets into the backfield, to try to split the defenders. And every highlight that I watched where he did try to do that, that's where he gets caught. I almost wish a few times that he would have kind of like did a little juke and got around the outside of one of those defenders. But he always tries to split them, and they close in on him and get him. Well, so it'd be curious to watch this season.
Like, I'm very excited to
see that he has.
I'm very excited to watch him in a Saints uniform this year. It's going to bring a level of excitement that we really haven't had the past couple of years.
Totally.
Like you said.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody.
He's definitely, I wouldn't say he's an upgrade over Darren Sproles. I mean, Sproles was excellent while he was here, especially the first couple of years. But he.
This is an irrational optimism episode. He's an upgrade.
Right. He's definitely an upgrade because he's an upgrade to the, and especially the fact that he has qualities that Sproles really did. He has more, where Sproles was elusive. Because of his small size and quick speed, Spiller has a little bit of, you know, weight in his ass, to where he's not, you know, he can take a hit and not necessarily go down. Remember when we had Reggie, and I mean, God bless him, but Reggie could get tackled. Reggie could get tackled with one arm. You know, if he got into the defender's range, I mean, you know,
but then too, with the potential of him, like, he goes back for a punt, holy shit, he might just return this, the realistic possibility of, dude, we might just witness a punt return right here, or a kick return. Not that Spiller's going to return kicks, but I like having, like, you can give him a toss, he could, you know, if the line gives him a hole, he could just go this way, whoop whoop whoop, gone. I'm excited for that.
Does he have to make that noise?
Yes. Whoop, yep.
No, Chris Berman will make the noise for
that's
him.
Right. That's right. Fucking Chris Berman.
No, I think C.J. Spiller, because he can catch the ball out the backfield too. I mean, dude, C.J. Spiller, Mark Ingram, this to me is going to allow Sean Payton to be a little less predictable by personnel. Because I think when you had Sproles and Pierre Thomas back there, or Sproles and who else was back there?
I mean, but normally if Ingram's back there,
you knew what the call was going to be. In a sense, you kind of knew Sproles was coming in for this and Pierre was coming in for that. I think with Ingram and C.J. Spiller, they're a little more interchangeable.
Well, but I mean, Ingram's got to be able to catch some passes out the backfield, but Spiller can at least, he's not automatically going to be a pass if Spiller comes in. Like, Spiller can run the ball, you know, and be fine.
And look, one of the things I used to love with Darren Sproles is when they would, you know, use a draw with Sproles. I mean, that's when he would pick up big chunks of yards, because most people thought that he was going to just, you know, be a pass catching back, you know.
Okay.
So, but I mean, actually, I
bold prediction. I know we'd do that later on, but bold prediction: does C.J. Spiller end up being the starter by the end of the season?
I think as long as Ingram's healthy, he's still going to get carries. I don't. But Spiller's going to get a lot of touches.
Yeah, but say Spiller's going to get a lot of touches. I don't know how you say starter. I mean, that's so.
I know.
That's so weird in this offense. I mean, you know.
Maybe you could say he gets more touches a game than Ingram. Like maybe Spiller gets 20, Ingram gets 15.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I definitely think that's going to be the case.
Mm-hmm. Something like that, right?
I think I mean, if you want to say that, yes, Spiller will be more featured than Ingram. Yes.
But we do know from history that Ingram gets better the more touches he gets.
Which is like when we have the lead at the end of the game, we'll give it to Ingram. Let him just run.
There you go. Done and done. All right. Next thing to be hyped about, Dennis Allen. So there was a Larry Holder, I think it was, or somebody wrote a good article. No, it wasn't Larry Holder. Let me scratch that.
Yeah, he didn't do anything good.
There was actually a good article rarely on NOLA. .com about Dennis Allen being the yin to Rob Ryan's yang, and how, you know, Rob Ryan is the hype train and big picture guy, and a lot of the players are responding really well already to the idea of Dennis Allen being that, you know, while Rob Ryan does that and he's great at that and you need that, you also need that counterbalance of a guy who's attention to detail, attention to technique. A couple of guys who even were quoted saying, like, they appreciate – I think it was Kenny Vaccaro saying, like, I've already got – he's already improved his game in his mind, about his progressions because of Dennis Allen.
It was nice. There were reports coming out of the OTAs the other day of Dennis Allen just working with the defensive backs and, like, a tackling drill, everybody in a circle. And you remember how last year it was all, like, hit the ball, hit the ball, hit the ball. You want to force a turnover. Now he's just like, just tackle. Because that's where we got burned. I mean, the Detroit game last year, because Corey White went for the ball, didn't go for the tackle. You know, go for the tackle, make the play, and prevent. You know, give up a 7-yard play and don't give up a 30-yard play. But it's nice to have. I mean, obviously, we know how well Allen did, you know, here, helping the secondary here. And with all the bodies we're adding back there and the problems that the secondary has had, it's nice to have a guy like that. You know, coming off having head coaching experience. So, you know, he's a good coach. Whether he succeeded or not as a head coach, the guy can coach. So I like having him back there helping all these guys in here. Just, I'm getting that irrational excitement. So it's too early. Like, I feel I need one more month of not thinking about football, and it's too late. I can't go back.
Yeah, this is definitely the time of year where we're, you know, like you said, we're all.
It's like I'm fucking giggity-giggity.
Right. I see us going, you know, winning 14 games and.
Right.
You know, maybe 15. Just lose that last one.
Just thinking about thinking about being back in the dome watching games. Like I get that little tingle in my pants. Like
I got that tingle in my pants yesterday when I paid off the rest of my tickets.
Oh yeah, I still haven't done. I still need to do that.
Well, speaking of tingles in your pants, Brandon Cooks returns for
Cooks boner will rise again.
Yeah, so some reasons to get excited about Brandon Cooks specifically. Last year, I didn't. I mean, we knew Cooks did great last year. And we knew he did great. but I like to be reminded of how great it was. And I was reading some stats. Breeze targeted Cooks 65 times last year before he got hurt. All right. And his QBR when throwing to Cooks was 110.9.
Like, Cooks caught like 53 or 54 of that 60.
Yeah.
Something.
And only two of the misses was Cooks' fault. The other two was Breeze's. I mean, the other however many was Breeze's fault.
Did you just say Breeze's? Not Grayson's, but Breeze's.
Grayson's. So the other thing I liked about what I read was during the year, even while he was hurt, Cooks would text Antonio Brown during the offseason. Stop me if you've heard this one.
Oh, you're reading that article, you boy, yeah. Larry Holder.
That's the one that Larry Holder wrote, yeah. And that, what I liked about it was, you know, that Cooks was excited. I just like the fact that Cooks took the time to ask one of the league's best receiver, how did you get this? How did you do that? And that Antonio Brown gave him such good responses, such, you know, not just one word stuff, but thorough explanations, excited. So, I mean, it just, again, irrational optimism. Dude, Cooks is, he's got, to me, better talent in a sense, in a way, than Colston.
Oh, he definitely, he's faster, you can break away. But well, like we talked about last year, the thing that we liked about
the work ethic of Colston.
That's it. The thing that we liked about Cooks was that he clearly wanted to get better. He wanted to do whatever it took to get better and to excel at his job.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a fucking loafer. Like, he's all in, putting in the work, working out with Breeze in the off season. He's the kind of kid you like. That's the kind of kid you want on your team.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited to see the strides that he's going to make this year, having a fully healthy off season. And I mean, you know, obviously, clearly,
whole year.
I mean, clearly, we're going to need him with no Jimmy and no Stills. Cooks is going to have to come out big, and look. That's why we invested, traded up, and with the first round pick.
Pro Bowl year.
Wow.
Yeah, irrational optimism.
I can't argue with you.
Pro Bowl year.
Right. Everything. Pro Bowl. Right. Everything.
And then go ahead, Damon. Anything on Cooks?
No, I mean, y'all covered. I mean, he's going to have to be a solid number two receiver, if not.
I think he's going to have to be number one. You think Colson's still going to be number one? Maybe I think not. Cooks is going to have to be our number one, I think.
Yeah, Colson's your safety valve.
Yeah. Colston might get more catches. I think his yards will decrease a little bit. But I think Cooks needs
to be. Does
Colston
become your slot?
They said he was lining up a lot in the slot. In practice this week to be your possession.
Yeah.
Think about it, to replace Jimmy Graham's, the big target in the middle, the little 5 yard out. I mean, that's going to be, Colston's not fast enough to run on the outside anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of works. You know, you move Colston in and then you put Cooks on one side and whoever on the other side.
Joe Morgan on the other side.
Morgan, Brandon Coleman, Josh Morgan, Shartavius
Jones. You could
put
Morgan,
Nick Toon.
or Morgan.
But yeah, I mean, it looks like, I mean, it's very early OTAs, no pads, but the fact that they line Colston up in the slot, maybe that's going to be his spot this year.
Makes sense to me.
I'm ready to watch football in the dome, man. I hate it crept up on me and it got me. Like it just got me.
How tall was Eric Martin? Was he Colston's height?
Maybe not that tall.
Maybe not that tall, but no, but he, I mean, he's six. He was 6'1", 6'2", somewhere around there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He's gotten to be a big boy, too.
I'm sure he has.
I don't know.
I can see, like, Colston's got the speed of Eric Martin and the hands of Eric Martin.
You know, last time I saw Eric Martin was somewhere around, oh, goodness, 99, 2000. He was at Riverlands playing golf.
Oh, man.
And he was a big boy. he had quit all that exercising that he did during football.
Hey, man, once you make it to the Saints Hall of Fame, you don't have to do shit.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Set for life. You got your portrait, man. You're good.
All right, so the last thing to be excited about, not the last and only, but the last thing we're going to talk about tonight is Ben Watson and Josh Hill.
Right.
You're getting sucked into that column because Ben Watson looked fantastic on day one of OTAs with no pads.
Why not?
That's your fucking hype train right there.
Irrational. Like,
whoa, watch out for Ben Watson.
What do you think the full fucking theme of the episode is? Hype train, irrational optimism.
Look,
I'm not even worried about Ben. Like, Ben Watson, whatever. You can say what you want. I'm hyped about Josh motherfucking Hill.
I'm ready to see what we do post-shoot.
Y'all don't want to write about Josh Hill yet, and that's fine by me. Keep the rest of the league in the dark. But Josh Hill, I guarantee
Josh Hill's your boy?
Exactly.
Josh
Hill?
Exactly.
Josh Hill leaves me speechless. Josh Hill, here's my hashtag irrational optimism. Josh Hill will make us forget about Jimmy Graham.
Holy shit. Okay.
I don't know about that. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Look, it'd be great if it happens. But
I could. But
I mean, look, we're going to use a nice two tight end set. I mean, Watson has been very solid for us the couple years he's been here. He's not going to go nuts and turn into this crazy stat monger. But look, he's solid. I mean, we know he's solid. So, yeah, he might have a great day at camp. That's fine. Everybody is going to have one great day of either OTAs or training camp. We're like, oh, this guy made the play of the day. Oh, this guy. So
don't bring us down to earth. This is not the episode.
No, I'm not. Look, I'm very excited. I'm just like, we still got 2 months until training camp starts.
One month, according to the intro.
Right. You know, like, I can't. That's why I like to take an off season. Like, fuck, I'm sucked in, and now I got to wait 2 months until even training camp.
Yeah.
I was trying to put this off, and I got fucking sucked in, and now I just can't get it out of my head.
Right, a couple of guys catch some balls, and all of a sudden we're going.
Just like I'm ready now. Like, I'm ready.
Here's a headline for you: NFL player catches pass in OTAs.
As long as they didn't catch an STD, that's all good.
That's what we're pretty much getting. All right. Any last words on OTAs before we move on to our next official segment?
Don't get any major injuries like the Broncos.
All right, next piece of ass is going to be...
Piece. I thought you were going to say piece de resistance.
No,
just a piece of ass.
Right. Is going to be the...
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Apparently, the Falcons are not finished with players who abuse dogs. Linebacker Shambo, I don't know any other
Prince.
Name.
Prince Shambo.
Prince Shambo. Killed his girlfriend's dog. Is this proven or is this alleged?
Yeah, no. He kicked his girlfriend's little dog and killed it.
Is Roger Goodell going to suspend him for a year?
The Falcons dismissed him today after it happened.
Wow, they dismissed him for that.
I don't know
what round pick was he?
He was a fourth round pick last year. Like, I remember him being on Hard Knocks last year. Like, that's your boy Prince. That's your boy. And apparently he had domestic violence issues at Notre Dame before he even got drafted.
Oh.
So there was an issue in college where he sexually assaulted a girl, and the Falcons still drafted him anyway, and then he kills his fiance's dog.
Now, I hate to defend the Falcons or a player.
Oh, fuck the Falcons.
But I would say, like, let's say, for example, in my job, if I killed my dog, my job have any justification to suspend me or do anything to me?
Well, if you get arrested for animal cruelty, you get arrested. I mean, you might get fired for being arrested, right?
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, well, there you go. Like, he got arrested. It was a felony animal cruelty. That's a felony.
Right.
If you get arrested for a felony, they're probably going to fire you.
Okay.
What? Do you have a contract at your job?
No, not like not a $1 million contract. Like,
well, no, it doesn't matter.
At all.
But even just the contract. Yeah.
But you don't have any kind of employment contract?
I mean, I didn't sign an employment contract. No.
Okay, well then yes, they could definitely fire you for. Then they could definitely fire you for. You have nothing.
So he has a contract.
Right, but in his contract.
I think the Falcons might have a stipulation about cruelty to dogs in their contract.
But I mean, also, too, like, I mean, NFL team can cut you regardless of whatever you do.
Right.
They can say, nope, you're done.
Yeah, NFL contracts aren't really worth much.
But you see what I mean. I mean, like, I could see Right, look, you suspend a guy for hitting his wife. You suspend a guy for hitting his kid. You suspend a guy for that, for that. And I know PETA's going to be all over our ass for this comment, but I mean,
PETA doesn't withdraw him.
Yeah, I
don't
care.
Or any animal rights activist. I mean, anybody who cares about animals.
PETA is a terrorist organization.
I love animals, yeah. And I'm not advocating for cruelty against animals. I think, but I'm trying to take like a
really?
Road approach.
Really,
here.
You had to specify that.
Yeah,
you had to tell thinking... you had to tell people that you are not advocating cruelty to animals.
Yeah, because the statement.
So someone might. Okay, let me hear what you're going to say.
Because I don't think a guy should be dismissed or thrown out for something that's completely unrelated to.
And you know what? He wouldn't be if he was Drew Brees, Tom Brady, or Peyton Manning.
Because they wouldn't have killed their fiance's dog.
Well,
either.
Let's say they, let's say
they
would have
deflated their dog's balls.
Let's say they would have. Right. Let's say they would have. The NFL, the Falcons, if Matt Shit Pants Ryan did it, the Falcons would have kept him.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
which
I guess in a sense proves the point I'm making that it's bullshit
that if you're special you get special treatment. No kidding. Yeah. Welcome to life.
But no, that the whole like, oh, the Falcons suspended him because they care about the animal cruelty. No, they didn't suspend him because they care about animal cruelty. They suspended him because he was a dispensable player to at least avoid the issue here.
I mean, it's still a felony arrest. Like, even if that would happen to Breeze, okay, we keep him around, but a felony arrest, there's going to be some punishment from Goodell. That's what he does. He might be suspended 2 games, 4 games. You're going to have public outcry. Because the public gets, upriled, so they would have done something. I just like the fact that, you know, it's a fourth-round pick from the Falcons that is now worthless. So good.
I agree. I just think that we're getting into this.
Yes, I mean, we are, but I understand what you're saying, Jeff, right. And yes, you are correct.
Yes.
Well, again, we have to be offended by everything.
Right.
And no one's allowed to be offended. I mean, that's the world we live in today.
Right.
Everybody, you have to be offended over everything, but you're not allowed to offend anybody. You know? Which, I mean, let me not...
And when you are offended, you need the most extreme and harshest penalty.
Right. Well, look, I mean, come on, guys. I mean, I don't know if I talk to y'all about this, but, I mean, we no longer live in a society of sticks and stones may break your bones. You know? But words will never hurt you.
Why blame attorneys for this?
I mean, that's not where we live anymore. No, you blame political correctness.
Yeah, blame...
Where do you think that came from?
Blame pussies.
Attorneys. People.
Well, you know, everything is, oh, I'm offended. Oh, I did this. Oh, I did
attorneys
that.
Attorneys and social networks.
You know. And it's like, you know,
and
what?
Podcasts.
Soccer moms get offended. Oh, no, my child cannot. Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Yes. I was just going to do that. I mean, that's it.
But no, that's the problem. So this poor guy, right. And the NFL...
And the fact that I hate the fact that we're defending fucking Falcons.
No, I'm not defending him for shit. It's a fucking felony abuse. Fuck him. It's a fucking felony. Dude, how about this? Don't kick your fiance's dog and kill it. How about that?
All right. So I'm with you.
No, he committed a felony.
If it is in fact a felony.
It is. He deserves whatever he got.
I don't know if it's a felony or not. Is it a felony?
It was. Yeah, it was a felony.
Killing a dog.
It's animal. Yes. He killed an animal. It's felony.
Killing
animal
a dog is a felony?
Yeah.
Yes. Cruelty.
It's man's best friend. You don't kill man's best friend.
Cruelty to animals, yes, it's a felony. If you accidentally ran over to a dog, obviously it's not a felony.
Right, it was an accident, right? Like he woefully... He kicked a fucking dog.
But
what kind of an asshole kicks a dog?
Did he kick it with the intent to kill it, or did he kick it with the intent to move it out of the way?
He kicked it with enough force to kill it.
Well, he kicked it with the rage of a
dog. I have two dogs, and these son of the bitches are always underfoot. And do I kick them? I'm using air quotes. I mean, yes, I take my foot and I put it on their butt, okay? But I don't kick them, you know? I do not kick them.
You don't
them.
Kick them hard enough to kill them.
I don't kick him hard enough. I touched him with my foot.
He
punted
that dog like Jack Black on Anchorman.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right, so I am glad that, Jason, that the Falcons lost their...
Right, it's a fourth-round draft pick that's wasted for them. Good. Sorry, Falcons, fuck you.
The tweet that we really would have talked about was from Nier, who did... Or actually, there is a second one. So there, Nier did ask, how fitting is it that Atlanta have another animal lover?
Of course, good. Fits them perfect. Arthur, that's Arthur Blank. Good job, Arthur. Good job. It's your boys. You fucking
real class organization you're building there.
Fucking Snidely Whiplash.
It's kind of chocula.
With your metal asshole stadium.
Of course. You have either their players are killing dogs or shitting in their pants. Those are the only two.
It's the only two options.
What right. kind of fucking, what kind of organization are they building?
The one that doesn't win Super Bowls.
Well, that's, yes.
There you go. All right, so let's see. Other than that, we do have one quick look at him tweets. And this one comes from Nier. And I really would like for Nier to have been on the show to discuss this because he's probably the foremost expert on the topic out of all three or four of us, if you count him. It concerns the FIFA corruption.
Oh, yeah. We get some soccer talk.
That's right. Damon, I know you're excited about it.
Damon must be thrilled.
Yeah. No one cares.
So, well, Nier's question was, who is worse, Roger Goodell or the entire FIFA with multiple arrests for corruption?
I mean, it's...
And I think that's worth that, Damon. You might be getting them wanting to talk about that. Is Goodell or FIFA worse?
Well, I'm not even sure what corruption are these FIFA people...
Okay, so basically, so they took bribes to vote on awarding a fucking World Cup to Qatar.
Oh, which... really? It was for Qatar. Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
But, it dates back beyond that,
right,
too.
But hold on. If you just look at it... No way in hell would you ever schedule a World Cup in Qatar where in the summer during the day.
Sure, no, right, it's 120 degrees.
Yeah, routinely 120 degrees. Right. Over 1,000 people have died building the stuff in Qatar. They bring in slaves. They bring in slaves from other countries.
That's not funny.
To work on this. Over 1,000 people have died building these stadiums.
Right, right.
It's total bullshit, total corruption. Like, everybody should fucking boycott the Qatar World Cup. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Well,
it's absolutely absurd.
I don't know how you can. Again, I mean...
Well, the players can refuse to play.
Right. God forbid one of these players die because they're playing, you know...
Well, they're talking about they have to play the matches at, like, 11 and 12 o'clock at night to not have guys pass out because it's 120 degrees during the day.
Sure.
Well,
so stupid to have a
World
Cup.
On top of that, though, all right, so not just the...
But y'all did see today where the FIFA president just got reelected.
Yeah, because some guy ran, all of a sudden just dropped out.
You didn't hear it's about corruption?
Yeah, right.
Come on now. What part of the corruption don't you understand? The other thing is that I love the fact that it's the U.S. that brought about the corruption charges because while FIFA does operate wherever they operate, I don't even know, most of their financial dealings and such is in the U.S. thanks to capitalism. And the U.S. has allowed this corruption to go on for years. But the reason that now the U.S. is striking – this is the conspiracy theory. The reason the U.S. is striking them is because Qatar beat out the U.S. So it's basically we would have let you get away with all the corruption you wanted. But you double-crossed us. So now you're going to get fucked.
Of course. It makes zero sense to put it in fucking Qatar. So fuck those asshole Saudi Arabians who bribed them. And
right. But the real thing – the real is not the real corruption. Also the fact that we would
have – didn't work out
nothing,
in our favor.
Right. We would have said nothing if we would have got
it. Right. I mean, look. FIFA corruption
– our corruption didn't work as good as Qatar's corruption.
FIFA corruption is not new. This has been going on for a long time.
Right.
But yeah, it is all of a sudden.
But it is nice that they got called out on it.
It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, if it they're talking about possibly.
Go ahead.
They're talking about possibly revoting. Not this is going to be a long shot, but revoting to redo the World Cup. But like, what if it doesn't? What if it doesn't? If there's enough outrage, if major sponsors start backing out, because I mean, fuck, 1,000 humans have died just building this shit.
Yeah.
And like, does anybody care? Obviously, Damon doesn't care, but. Are people going to care enough to
Damon might care that people died.
He probably doesn't.
Not really.
You see? Yeah, right.
Right. And look, they know what? They died building a soccer stadium. That's the most useless, you know? Nothing could have been more of a useless death, you know?
Such a waste of life,
but
right?
Damon,
right.
If the soccer
I'd rather have been killed, you know, I'd rather be the last man killed in Vietnam than die for building a stupid soccer stadium. Well,
but Damon, is a soccer stadium that looks like a vagina.
Is Atlanta going to play there?
No, they play in an asshole.
All right. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. What do you
it's
do
just,
about
the whole situation is just crazy.
We all knew has been going on for years.
I wonder
how the rest of the soccer world feels about, of all countries to bring the hammer down on FIFA, it's the U.S., who probably out of all countries in the World Cup has the
don't
least.
Care, right.
Right, the, cares the least about it.
Like, fuck you, we have the Super Bowl in the NFL.
So I am curious, though, to know what our international listeners, how they feel about this, because we don't know what the fuck we're talking about.
And in Damon's case, he doesn't even care.
Yeah. So there you go. All right. That brings us to final thoughts.
I'm getting sucked into football mode now, which is – I didn't expect. I thought I was going to hold out for another month, but it didn't happen. But also, of course, everybody heard Sean Payton's motivational tactic this year, putting the street sign up at the facility with compete on it, North Compete, and there's a South Compete. So that's going to be his theme of the year, compete.
Okay, so compete for your job.
You're right. That's his do your job of 2015.
Okay.
So just I'm it sucks, like, because now that I'm fiending football, it's going to take a long time to get to training camp. Like, this is going to be a long 2 months, and I'm.
Yeah, but it's always fun. The build up.
I know it's fun, but I was hoping to hold off to not get sucked, you know.
Yeah.
I just want to be all of a sudden, holy shit, training camp's here, boom, we're already here.
Well, it'll be here before you know it.
Maybe I can go hibernate for 2 months.
You could watch baseball.
The Cubs.
All right, Damon, final thoughts.
I have no final thoughts.
All right.
There you go. Anybody see Tomorrowland yet?
I'm going to go see it tomorrow.
I saw it.
I'm going to go see it tomorrow night.
Yeah, it was halfway decent.
All right. That's good. It's PG, right?
Did y'all see it?
I'm going actually going to see it tomorrow, too.
Like I said, I'm going to see it tomorrow.
Okay.
So, bye tomorrow.
Watch the end of it.
Okay. I was planning on watching the whole thing.
No, no, no. Listen. At the very end, look, I'm going to spoil it for you.
No!
Hold on. Shut up. The world's in trouble.
No!
The world in trouble. They save the world. Okay? The good guys win. Okay? Hate to spoil that for you.
Just flashback to Ultron.
Right, kind of like if it's...
Ultron! Oh, wait, what'd you say? Ultron?
The Avengers win!
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the good guys win. After
Ultron
they win...
Is defeated!
After the good guys win... They go back and do something, and I want you to watch them and see if you notice something.
Okay.
Okay. Is that after credits, or that's just...
No, before credits.
Okay. All right. Yeah, very interesting.
You'll see.
Okay.
Okay.
You'll notice what... Oh, this is what Dave was talking about. You'll see.
The sand snakes tits?
No, I wish.
Yeah, that was nice.
All right, well, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol Podcast. Check us out at facebook.com/Dome Patrol Podcast. We're also on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, so if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, off-season non-football donkeys.
Good night, Hootat Nation.